Thank you, Scott, and good morning, everyone. I want to welcome the Martins to Cambridge. We're really happy to have you here with us. Look forward to getting to know you. We've heard it said many times over the years that we're going to one day be kings and priests, leaders in God's kingdom. Last year, the theme for the youth camps was leaders, people of character. This is something we are all learning to become, people of character. There were several character traits that we focused on, one each day, and we used them for the theme of each day, and then we discussed them throughout the day and then in the Christian living classes in the evenings. One of those traits that we discussed was that of being determined. I thought we'd talk about this character trait today, being determined. Determination is important because it means we are willing to do anything, right things, to overcome challenges so that we may achieve what we seek. That we are willing to see something through to the end despite the trials we may have to endure. Merriam-Webster says this about determination. It is the act of deciding definitely and firmly. Definitely and firmly. Another meaning of determination is firmness of purpose, willpower, intentness, and strength of character. Why is it important for us to be determined? Well, it helps us to achieve great things, even seemingly impossible things. It helps us achieve our goals. I have a true story I'd like to read to you about the power of determination. A little 8-year-old boy had the job of coming in each morning to start a fire and warm the classroom before the teacher and the other classmates would arrive. One morning they arrived to find the schoolhouse engulfed in flames. They dragged the almost dead little boy out of the building. He had major burns over the lower half of his body. From his hospital bed, in semi-conscious, the little boy faintly heard the doctor tell his mother that he would surely die. But the brave little boy, he didn't want to die. He had made up his mind that he was going to be determined that he was going to survive. To the amazement of the physicians, he did survive. Once the mortal danger was over, again the little boy heard the doctor tell his mother that since the fire had destroyed so much flesh over his lower body, it would have been almost better if he would have died, since he was doomed to be a lifetime cripple with no use of his lower limbs at all. Once more, the brave little boy made up his mind and was determined that he would not be a cripple. But unfortunately, from his waist down, he had no motor skills, no ability. His legs just dangled there, hopelessly, lifelessly. Once released from the hospital, his mother would massage his legs daily, but there was no feeling and no control. There was nothing. The little boy was confined to a wheelchair. Then one sunny day, while he was sitting in his wheelchair getting fresh air, the little boy threw himself from the chair, and he pulled himself across the green grass, dragging his legs behind him. He worked his way to the white picket fence and went around his yard, and with great effort he reached and raised himself up to the fence. And then stake by stake, he began dragging himself along that fence, determined that he was going to walk. He started doing this every day until he wore a path around the yard beside the fence. There was nothing more that he wanted to do than to develop life in his legs. 22 months later, through his iron persistence and steadfast determination, he did develop the ability to stand up. Then to walk with frequent stomps. And then he eventually ran. This little boy is an excellent example of determination. But the story doesn't end there. The young man who was not expected to survive, who would surely never walk again, who would never hope to run, this determined young man was named Glenn Cunningham. and he ran the world's fastest mile in 1934. Glenn Cunningham was intent on achieving his goal, not to die, as well as not to be a cripple, as the doctor said that he would be. He didn't stop at just walking. He kept forging forward and was able to run. And not just run, but he became a world record runner and set the world's fastest mile. So how about us? How determined are we in our lives? Are we intent on improving our situations and achieving our goals? What are we determined to accomplish? Are we determined to become the person God desires us to be? Living in this culture puts many obstacles in front of us, and we have to be prepared for them. And we must believe and trust that we can overcome them. How then can we put this trait of determination to use in our lives? Let's briefly look at another story about a person who was very determined and see what we can learn from his example. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. And we don't have time to really go through this whole story, so we're going to hit and miss and see what we can pick up from this story, that some things that we can take home as lessons. Nehemiah 1, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. And they said to me, well, I better back up to my notes just a little bit. I got a little bit ahead of myself. Nehemiah was a Jewish servant who served the king of Persia as a cupbearer when he heard the news about his native land. The project of rebuilding Jerusalem and its temples and walls had been underway and still was not complete. His people were under great distress and the situation in Jerusalem was grim. Nehemiah's concern for his welfare of Jerusalem and his people prompted him to take action. The situation in Jerusalem was intense and unsettling, and upon receiving the distressing news, the first thing Nehemiah did was put his trust and confidence in God with prayer and fasting. Now we can begin reading in Nehemiah 1, verse 3. Nehemiah 1, verse 3 reads, "And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." In verse 4, "So it was when I heard these things, these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." And then we can continue in verses 5 through 11 when you have time, and you can see what Nehemiah prayed. And that Nehemiah asked also that he would find favor in the king's eyes, to be able to go and do this thing. And then in Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 8, Nehemiah requested that the king of Persia excuse him from his job and allow him to return to Judah to help rebuild it, along with the request for supplies. And it all was granted to him. The next several verses show that Nehemiah returns and surveyed the situation discreetly. Let's pick up the story in Nehemiah 2, verses 16 through 18. Picking up in Nehemiah 2, starting in verse 16. "And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not been yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we no longer be in reproach." In verse 18, "And I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that had been spoken to me. They said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work." Nehemiah had a clear goal, and he was determined to see it through. He was determined to accomplish it. And God was blessing his efforts for that. So the work begins. And right away, the first obstacle pops up. Nehemiah 2, and we'll pick up in verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and they despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" In verse 20, so I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. He will let us have success. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." They were being ridiculed and mocked for what they were doing. And Nehemiah boldly responded to them and was not intimidated by their mocking and threats. As Christians today, we are ridiculed and we are mocked for obeying God's law and keeping his commands. And there are even laws that are being written constantly to help prevent us from practicing what we believe. But we must stay focused and stay close to God and be determined to finish what he has started in us. Continuing our story, Nehemiah chapter 3, it's just, you can read it later, the work to rebuild proceeds, and it's coming along quickly. But then another obstacle is faced, the threat of physical harm this time. Let's pick that up over in Nehemiah 4, verse 6. Nehemiah 4, verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. They were willing, they were determined to put forth great effort. And then verse 7, now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and that the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. Verse 8, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Today, many are being murdered in the name of Christianity around the world. And the threat of physical harm is a real issue that Christians have to deal with. But thankfully, we have God's protection. God's involved in our lives, if we allow him to do so. Although they were threatened and violent, Nehemiah was still determined and he kept pressing forward. We see in verse 9 that he prayed to God again, as he had in the past, and asked him for his intervention, and then they sat watch against their adversaries day and night so the work could continue. They could continue moving forward to see their project through. In Nehemiah 6, verses 1 and 2, we again see a plot against Nehemiah, a threat to harm. But Nehemiah would not let that distract him from finishing what he had started, and he remained determined to get the work done. He prayed for strength and protection, and then Nehemiah finished what he set out to do, with God's help and God's direction. Let's finish reading this in Nehemiah 6. Nehemiah 6, verses 15 and 16. Nehemiah 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And that would have been the 6th month in the Hebrew calendar and the equivalent to our August-September part of the year. And then verse 16, and it happened when all of our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. With God's help and determination, in 52 days, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls that were over 8 foot thick, 39 feet tall, 2.5 miles long, containing 34 watchtowers and 10 gates. That, to me, is a really amazing thing. So what are some of the lessons that we can learn from this today? I just have 5 brief things that I'll say quickly that we can use to think about later. first one being, prayer is essential in all that we do. Every decision that we make, we should pray about. Two, we must seek God's guidance and His help. It's there for us. It's there to help us. It's available freely to us. Three, we can overcome opposition. Four, I'll slow down a little bit, excuse me. But four, don't be discouraged by our adversaries, by the people who think that we're being silly, that we even believe in a God. And we know what Satan thinks. He doesn't want us to give credibility to God at all. He wants to pull us away from our relationship with God. And then five, our faith is worth fighting for. It's something to be determined about. Let's be determined to live the life that we should, to become the person and people that we should. Remember Glenn Cunningham? He was expected to die or be a cripple. And look what his determination helped him accomplish. And then Nehemiah, he was mocked and he was physically threatened. And yet, through determination, he still succeeded in building a mammoth wall in an incredible short time. Two seemingly impossible stories, but yet they both happened. They're true stories. What's going to be our story? Let's be determined to make the rest of this year a successful one and see that what we strive for, the goal of being in God's family, leaders in His kingdom, becomes reality in our future. In closing, turn with me to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. And we're going to read verse 26. Matthew 19, verse 26. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Matthew 19, 26 reads, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Have a great Sabbath.